And all right. I want to go up now.
So tonight, or this evening, we're going to start the third bracha, which is Ata Kadosh, the bracha of Kedusha Hashem. And so we're going to start with a lengthy and hopefully thorough introduction to just try and develop a full and complete and meaningful understanding of what Kedusha is, in order to talk about, you know, Kedusha Hashem and Ata Kadosh. So obviously you have to understand what the idea of Kedusha is in order to have any meaningful discussion about anything like that. So we need to start with a working definition of Kedusha, and we'll try to hone it in as we, you know. Artscroll probably translates it as holy, right? So The word holy is essentially meaningless. I'd say maybe it's worse than meaningless, because really it's tainted with all kinds of Christian connotations that, you know, holy often means solemn, maybe boring. I don't know. That's what I associate with holy. But, you know, it's maybe we would, you know, assume that it means something like spiritual. But, you know, spiritual itself is an amorphous enough term. I remember hearing this story about this rabbi in on the West Coast, where there's the whole culture of pop culture of, you know, these celebrities are interested in learning Kabbalah, you know, learning Jewish Kabbalah. And there's this rabbi there who he himself was actually, you know, a legitimate from rabbi, whatever it was, but for somehow, you know, had gotten associated with. So he was some, I don't remember who the celebrity was. They had they were inviting him over
Madonna?
It wasn't Madonna. It was someone else, you know, and hopped on the bandwagon and had invited him over to you know, talk about, you know, whatever it was, and shows up, and the, you know, has you know, these pillows on the floor, and this you know, like incense, you know, and this, you know, like very light you know, this like soothing music in the background. And, you know, and he says to the rabbi, he says, you know, rabbi, is this spiritual enough for this? And you realize, you know, spiritual really meant relaxing, apparently. That was, you know, apparently what spiritual means. So, you know, so using words like holy and spiritual and things like this are ill-defined enough terms on their own. So they're not really very helpful in developing an idea of what Kedusha is. So we'll start with, the best place to start is with the different usages of Kedusha, of the word Kadosh Kedusha, and we'll try to find a common theme. So maybe we'll put on the table first the most difficult one to square, which is the pasuk says Lo siya Kedesha, right? It says that there shall not be a Kedesha,
where is the pasuk?
Pasuk in Vayikra, I actually didn't write down exactly where the pasuk is, but by Avram also, I mean by Yehuda also, when it says when he saw Tamar that she was dressed up as a Kedesha, right? A Kedesha means a woman who is Hefker, a woman who is a prostitute. So exactly, you know, how we square that with Kedusha, we'll have to get back to. We have the term for the halachic betrothal of a woman to a man is called kiddushin, right? There's a second stage, which is nisuin, but the stage of where the woman becomes betrothed to the man is called kiddushin. We have hekdesh. Hekdesh is consecrated property which has been designated towards use of the temple, and the temple itself is called the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the holy temple. So exactly the common denominator. What is the
Kaddish?
What
is Kaddish related to that too?
Kaddish, like Yiskadal Yiskadash.
And Kiddush.
Right. So right. So we have Kiddush, right, and Kaddish. So Kaddish.
These all sound like separate.
Okay, so that's
to his credit, Pathway to Prayer. I think Rav Meir Berman, I think that's the name of the person who wrote Pathway to Prayer. I think he defines Kaddish as separate.
So that's the direction we're going to try and go in. Maybe we'll have one nuance further than that, but kiddush also fits into that. Kaddish is a harder one because the Kaddish is the name of the tefillah, which is just a description of the tefillah, which is Yiskaral v'Yiskadesh, which is just a declaration of Kedusha, which really kind of just the question of whatever Ata Kadosh, whatever it means when we describe Hashem as Kadosh, is what we're talking about in Kaddish. So that one will kind of fit into, after we figure out what it means, how we could talk about it here. So as Shammai started to say, so the idea of Kedusha, the common theme that we seem to find, is this idea of something being separate, and I would say a step further, something being separate and something being dedicated, something being separate from one thing and set aside for something else, right? The Kiddushin is in halacha, the point of Kiddushin is the point at which adultery becomes forbidden, the point at which this woman is dedicated, is, so to speak, set aside for this man, is called Kiddushin, right? Hekdesh, consecrated property, was property which was set aside, dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the point where things are, that's where they brought Korbanos, where everything was set aside for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the idea of Kiddushin. So our monkey wrench that we had before, which is Kedesha, which in Elosia Kedesha, which means a zona, a prostitute. So exactly how does that fit in? So Rashi actually makes reference to this point in their Chazal at refer to this, that a woman who is Mizana, a woman who has a set relationship, but she has other relationships also, is not a Kedesha. A Kedesha is a woman who has set herself aside specifically for non-marital relationships. A woman who has designated herself for Zanus is called a Kedesha. But a woman who is, you know, a woman who is just has other relationships, she's not called a Kedesha. Kedesha is specifically a woman who has set herself aside and designated herself for that purpose, right? The other ones we all explained in Kiddushin, where the point at which the relationship becomes designated.
And they would be found, if I'm not mistaken, in these temples of worship. So it's Kedushas, no?
Sometimes. I mean, the implication in the story with Yehuda and Tamar was, you know, there's on the you know, sitting by the street corner. But as Mr. Rosenthal pointed out, that Kiddush, right, the point at which you demarcate the separation between the weekday and Shabbos, the point at which it's become a separate day, is Kiddush. Kiddush is that point of demarcation. So the idea of Kiddush, the Beis HaMikdash, right, is the place set aside for Avodas Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is perhaps a particularly telling example. It's a place which is set aside. It's restricted access. Every part of the Beis HaMikdash, only certain people are allowed to go there. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is, you know, the most holy of holy, the most Kadosh place, is the most restricted place. It's the place which is restricted in both time and space. There's only one person who could go there, only one time of the year, right? That's the most restricted place in the world, is the holiest place in the world, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the idea of Kedusha, in a very... only the Kohen Gadol, you can only go there on Yom Kippur to do the Avodah by the Kapporis there. That was the only time that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was entered, except with the possible exception of cleaning crews, which the Gemara has a whole discussion of whether or not they went in, and if they went in, and how they went in, but there was not a simple thing. But the going into the holiest place in the world is the most restricted place in the world. So the idea of Kedusha, the most basic idea of Kedusha, and we'll try and build on this in the next upcoming discussions, but the most basic idea of Kedusha is separation, is being separate, is being distinct. This is also the idea, and we'll have to, as we're talking about Ata Kadosh, We'll have to delve into this more, but this is also the idea of with a mitzvah, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani, that you should be kadosh, you should be holy, because I am holy. So Hashem is kadosh, Hashem is holy, Hashem is completely separate, Hashem is completely removed from us. So what does it mean that you should be holy because I am holy? We obviously can't be holy like Hashem is holy. It's just not something that's applicable to us. So how are we supposed to fulfill this mitzvah? So we find three basic categories of explanations in the Rishonim, all of which I think can be understood along the lines of what we're describing now. Rashi says, what does it mean kadoshim to you? Is prushim min ha'arayos. Rashi says that to be kadosh means to stay away from illicit relationships. The way the Ramban characterizes Rashi is prushim min ha'asar lach. You should avoid that which is asar. You should separate yourself from forbidden pleasures. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of kadoshim to you is a general injunction to keep the Torah, to have all of your actions directed towards Hashem, that everything that you do should be dedicated towards Hashem, that's the general idea of being dedicated to Hashem. That's the mitzvah of kedoshim to you. And the Ramban, on perhaps the maybe we could call it the furthest level of this idea, says, the Ramban says, prushim min hamutar lach, that you should be removed and separate even from that which is permitted to you. Says the Ramban that the mitzvah of kedoshim to you is to only be involved in the physical world for spiritual purposes, to have all of your involvement in this world dedicated towards spiritual growth, and to avoid that which is an unnecessary indulgence. That is the mitzvah of kedoshim to you. The mitzvah of kedoshim to you is to go beyond just the basic framework of the mitzvos, and to actually be to only use olam hazeh, only use this world as a point of dedication towards spiritual ends, towards spiritual growth. All of these ideas are along the same line. The basic theme of kedusha is this idea of stepping away from just frivolous involvements and being dedicated towards something higher.
So, I guess I was just going to ask, how does the Kikadosh Ani work in the Rambam? But I guess it works.
Your Shama?
Yes, that's me.
Right. So the idea of Kikadosh Ani means because I am separate.
So the other one, so I am separate, I get that, but I am dedicated, meaning the point is that we're supposed to do something because Hashem also did that, Hashem dedicated, I don't know, I just feel like that idea doesn't work as well in the way the Rambam is explaining it, no?
I think the Rambam understands that the it's a general act of dedication to... Mm-hmm. To through the mitzvos are a dedication of your all of your the framework of your physical life towards spirituality. The Kuzari and
using a term that you declined, that you said was too loose before.
I keep using the word holy because
I use the word spirituality.
What?
Awesome.
Right, but both of them I'm using for convenience. We'll call it towards the different terms the Rishonim have much better terms for this, towards Elokius or towards godliness is probably a better term. I just think that it sounds much too
lofty,
but I can't think of
we're trying to use terms that are very difficult to work with, because the idea of, yes, there is imitatio Dei, you imitate God, but the idea of even trying to anthropomorphize Hashem and to say that we are godlike or to be or spiritual, we're scrambling for terminology that is difficult to understand.
Yeah, that's certainly true, and actually, that's
impossible to understand.
So really, that actually leads very nicely into the next point we're trying to want to make, which is that the Kuzari and the Ran in the Drash HaSaran both make this point that Hashem is Kadosh. What does it mean that Hashem is Kadosh? Means that Hashem is completely separate and removed. That Hashem is completely beyond any understanding that we could possibly both hope to have. And says the Ran that in the first two brachos that we mention the midos of Hashem, the different attributes of Hashem, how Hashem interacts in the world, and we explained as we went through it that these are the pillars of existence. The basis of creation is from Chesed and Gvura, the different ways in which Hashem gives to the world and forms the world and creates boundaries and all these different things, that now it's necessary to clarify that Hashem is, at the end of the day, above and beyond all description and all human grasp. And even the descriptions that we gave aren't related back to his essence, what the different Rishonim describe as Atzmuso, as in Hashem's, in the essence of what Hashem is, we call Hashem himself. We don't have a description of that. That we relate to Hashem through his midos. Hashem gave us a framework in which to relate to him through the different attributes through which he relates to the world. But at the end of the day, there's Hashem himself is totally beyond our comprehension. The Ramchal in Das Tfunos, in a couple places, is a large theme that he develops. Is he says that all of the names that we have for Hashem, all of the names that we have, and all of the descriptions that we have, all of the different midos, when we say Hashem is Rachaman and Ne'aman and all of the different things that we describe Hashem as, that they're all describing different modes of interaction that Hashem has with the world, but they're not describing him. For example, a person who acts with rachmanus, with mercy, is because he is a rachman. That person, that's part of who he is, and the midos that make up who he is are manifested in his actions, because his actions demonstrate who he is. Because he is a rachman, therefore he acts with rachmanus. But it's not so with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem chooses to act with certain midos, with certain attributes, but that doesn't define who he is, his essence, his atzmus. This is really certainly beyond the scope of our discussion now. The idea of, in Kabbalah, when they talk about the spheros, that there's the different seven spheros or ten spheros, whatever it is, that all these different things, they're not a discussion for now, but that's really is the essence of what the spheros are, is that Hashem is Ba'atzmuso, that the introduction of the Zohar basically talks about this whole idea that, you know, this the idea that we could understand Hashem is totally beyond us. We have this method that Hashem wanted us to relate to him, so he gave us a system through which we can relate to him. But Hashem himself, he's infinite. He's totally beyond the comprehension that we could possibly have. So Hashem is the infinite, with a capital I. And as finite beings, we cannot possibly grasp the infinite. As an example, just to conceptualize this, we could take numerical infinity. So you can start at counting at one, and you go 10 and 1,000 and a million and a billion, and you could realize as you keep getting higher and higher that, hey, I could go on forever. This keeps going and going and going. You could realize that that the numbers will keep going and going, but no matter how long you go on, you could always add more. You could always add one more, no matter how high the number is, that there's always a number above that. You can never actually reach, you can never actually get to infinity. Infinity is not like the very high end of the number line. It's something that is, it can't actually be reached. Infinity is an important concept that in set theory and in different upper mathematics, is that infinity is not a number. Infinity is a concept. You can't actually, it's not the end of the number line. The whole idea of infinity is there is no end to the number line. You can't actually ever get to infinity.
By definition,
you can realize through, you know, the process that numbers keep going, you can realize it must exist, but there's no way to actually quantify infinity. The human mind can't picture or imagine the infinite, And the Ramchal explains this actually in a very concrete kind of way. He says that our imagination, our frame of reference, is all based on our experiences. Everything that we imagine is really just composite images and concepts of things that we've already experienced. You've probably never seen a dragon, correct? You ever seen a dragon? Not a Komodo dragon, a real dragon, right? So you've seen one on the cover of a novel somewhere, so there's a movie or whatever, but you know, you've seen a dragon, but you could still imagine a dragon because you've seen a lizard, and you've seen wings, and you've seen fire, and you've seen whatever else, you know, are going to go into your dragon are all things that you've seen before, and therefore those are all tools that your mind has to combine into something new. Your mind can take, can draw on all of the experiences that you've had and imagine something which is, you know, never actually existed, this particular cholent of things that you've seen, but that it's all there, in at least in potential. But something that you've never experienced, there's no way for you to imagine such a thing. This, you know, you can't imagine a new color. You just can't, like, there, you know, we have a spectrum of colors, and everything is going to be some mixture of wavelength wherever it is along the but you can't imagine a new color, because you would have to have something that new color is, that you've experienced, to compare it to. And once it's like something you already saw, then it's just a color that you already saw. There's no such thing. You can't imagine a new musical note which is off of the music scale. It's just, you can't imagine such a thing because you never experienced something like that, and there is no experience like that to have in this world. And you know, Chazal actually tell us in different sources say that La'as and Lavo, there's going to be there's seven notes on the musical scale, and La'as and Lavo, there will be this heightened, you know, world of experience. There will be an eighth note, and there will be an eighth color, and there will be all of these things that we can't possibly relate to what they are. Probably part of what the Navi describes, that the Schar La'as and Lavo is Ayin Lo Rasa, is something which no Navi could has seen or experienced or could describe, for the same reason, because the Navim all work with, you can only describe the terms that we, you can only describe things in the terms that we have. All we have is Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is something which is qualitatively different than Olam Hazeh. There's nothing you can describe it with. So says the Navi, I am Lo Rasa. There's no eye which has seen it. There's nothing, there's no tools you can use to try and give you we can have mushals, and we can have, try and have analogies and different things like that. But the actual what it is, there's no way to understand. And that's the way it is with the infinite. We are finite. The world is finite. Everything we've ever experienced is finite. And therefore, we have no way to possibly conceptualize the infinite. And therefore, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's infinite, is totally beyond our ability to grasp, to understand such a mode of existence. So the very first point in understanding Kadosh, and understanding Ata Kadosh, or understanding that Hashem is Kadosh, is understanding that Hashem is separate and removed, and is beyond our comprehension. We discussed way back in the beginning that the first three brachos, the brachos of Shevach, to praise Hashem, we explained, are not Chas V'Shalom because Hashem has an ego problem and he needs us to praise him. But the point of the Shevach is to get us into the correct frame of mind to understand we're about to, or we are now engaging in, approaching, standing in a personal audience, Lifnei HaMelech, to stand in front of the king, to understand exactly, so that it will impress upon you exactly what the significance of this experience is, that you'll be able to get the most out of being in this presence, of being in this experience of tefillah. So we have to understand for ourselves, describe to ourselves, and make sure we understand exactly how great Hashem is. And therefore we have a bracha of all of Hashem's chesed, and we have a bracha of all of Hashem's gevura. The last step before we can begin the bakashos l'shmona esrei, which we described in the past, the self-scrutiny, when you are really, we described the idea of lehispalel, the word, if we literally translate it, conjugate the word. We discussed the idea of lehispalel really means to cause oneself to be judged, and we explained what that idea means. But that when you're submitting yourself to this judgment, the final step before you begin the self scrutiny of the Bakashos, of the middle section of Shemona Esrei, is to understand that Hashem, who we approach, is inherently and unequivocally beyond our comprehension. That the most basic understanding that we have is that we can't understand that there's an existence beyond our comprehension, and we can't go in it's important to understand before we start that there's a madrega, there's a level of existence which is beyond our comprehension, beyond our ability to relate to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, he wants us to connect to him, and therefore he gave us the framework through which he wants us to relate to him. But at the end of the day, at, use clumsy words, so to speak, the top of the ladder, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodu v'atmo is beyond our comprehension. It's the last step before we can start the real heart of Shemona Esrei is that understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally beyond our understanding. All right, we'll pause here for tonight.
And maybe that's really kind of a humbling conclusion, which is that we're going to be using a lot of words, right?